and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast, an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. And today I have a really, really special guest on the show that my friends were really excited for me to have because they know I've been raving about her on Instagram for about a year now. And I have Melanie Santos. So Melanie Santos is a New York City-based wellness content creator, wife, mama, daughter, sister, and cosmic goddess and creator of MelanieSantos.co. It was originally launched as Mel a la Mode in 2013, but now the Melanie Santos brand is a safe space for people of all walks of life to speak openly about mental, physical, and spiritual wellness who are on the journey to align with their higher self and manifesting their soul's highest evolvement. She is also one third of the beautiful, bomb, and popular Santos family alongside husband Huey and daughter Ava Luna. Welcome, Melanie.
I love that popular trio, popular bomb trio, excuse me.
Yes.
That was awesome. Hi, thank you for having me on. I'm so excited to get into all the beautiful things that we're about to talk about.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to give you guys a little bit of background, so I found Melanie through my friend Catherine. I was going through a really, really dark place about 2 years ago. My father passed away and I was diagnosed with severe depression and anxiety, and I was talking about it on my Instagram and I felt so liberated. And she said, you should follow my friend Melanie because she talks a lot about mental health on her Instagram and she's very transparent. Because when I started sharing about my story, people were kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, upset because they didn't want me to put my business out there. So Melanie, you kind of paved the way for me to be more transparent on my social media platform. So I'd like to thank you for that.
That's amazing. And that's like literally my only goal is to, one, to get people to break through and just be their authentic self, but especially to be their authentic self on these social platforms where there's so much bullshit out there. It's just, it gets really exhausting, especially when you're on it most of the day. And you know, it's inevitable. We're all comparing ourselves to other people's lives. So to hear that is really, really, really awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. You're welcome. And it's been, it feels nice to see how much you've grown this past year. I know that sounds weird because we barely know each other. We're just kind of like Insta, you know, friends, followers, I guess. But I love seeing like other women of color and their glow up. And I honestly feel like you've been so transparent with us and we've seen you glow up this past year. So congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
Now, I wanted to have Melanie on the show today, guys, because we talk a lot about mental health, and I always talk about how wellness has not to do so much with, you know, your mind, but has to be your spirit and your body. And we not only address mental health, but all the aspects of your life that are going to affect your mental health. And one of those things that I wanted to get into with Melanie is her spiritual health and the connection between spiritual health and mental health. But before we get into that, Melanie, can you tell us a little bit about you, MelanieSantos.co, and how was it adopted and what is it now?
So as you guys know, my name is Melanie Santos. I am 29 years old, New Yorker, living in Manhattan right now. MelanieSantos.co came about as a need to express myself. So basically, I was born a very, very creative person. I've always been an artist, a musician, was always creating little things for my family. I was just telling Nurse right before this, I was just like, I would always like make little things and like gift it to people. And they're like, what are you doing? What is this? So at like 23, I wanted to build an online space where I could share odes to the things that I love. Publicly. So anything from like a song to a pair of shoes to the way that I was feeling about someone. And then I was reintroduced to depression and anxiety, which I'd been diagnosed with a couple years back as a teenager. And I had to make a decision whether I was going to give all of that up and this online community that I had built on melanomo.com, or I was going to use my voice and talk about what I was going through. So I decided to do that. And I remember the first time that I posted about you know, being diagnosed with generalized anxiety and depression, and people just emailed me from all parts just thanking me for being honest. And I was like, okay, I guess, you know, I have a lane here. You know, not, there weren't at that time, number one, there weren't like influencers didn't exist. There weren't many bloggers, and the ones that were on the internet was like, you know, niche bloggers, like music bloggers. There was a lot of fashion bloggers, but nobody really knew what blogging was. So mm-hmm. I consider myself one of the mental health blogger pioneers, I guess you could say. There weren't very many of us, but the ones that there were, I still talk to today on a daily basis. And I'm just really proud to have, you know, blaze that trail for so many people that are doing it today. Later on in life, the blog grew with me. I eventually shut it down for a little while as I was growing and as I was shedding. I was in a very deep depression at some point in my life, but I was also unknowingly growing spiritually. So I think November hit 5 or 6 years of my blogging career, if you want to call it. And just looking back, like, not only has this website, this platform, this brand, this small business now grown so much, but so have I. So as I was saying before, you know, one of my missions is just to help people on their journeys, because we're ultimately all on spiritual journeys. We've been on spiritual journeys since the moment that we were conceived. Mm-hmm. But just to tap into our power and to be our authentic selves. And I know that this is like, these are things that a lot of people are trying to do now. A lot of people are talking mm-hmm. about. There are a lot of small businesses dedicated to living your best life and love and light. But I really stray away from the whole love and light thing, because mm-hmm. it's so old. One, is oversaturated, and two, it's not what this is all about. Right. You know, living your best life isn't about, you know, showcasing the best parts of yourself. It's actually about diving into the darkest parts of yourself and taking into account, you know, why you feel a certain way about certain things, and why you love or don't love yourself and other people, and why, you know, you behave certain ways and are attracted to certain things, mm-hmm. and molding that and using that and shedding it and gaining other things to build this ultimate, you know, divine being that we are all meant to be. So, yeah.
Wow. That's exactly what I was hoping that you would say, because I think that a lot of people, especially around the love and light stuff, I think a lot of people think that it's supposed to be all positive thinking and, mm-hmm. you know, don't think negatively about this and stuff like that. But you have to kind of go through your feelings in order to get to a place in your life when you can work through them and come out alive, basically.
Yeah, for sure. I think people don't realize, you know, one, the connection between, you know, the mind, body, soul, and mm-hmm. just like, how can it be all love and light if this is what we're talking about? We're talking about ourselves as a whole self. And I guess we'll get into that later on, but it's just so right. frustrating to me as a content creator, you know, when I have to stand alongside these other, you know, spiritual influencers, if that's what you want to call us, and it's all like me, and I'm talking about dark stuff, and I'm talking about depression and anxiety, and, you know, breakups and suicide, and mm-hmm. and then there's this, you know, person standing next to me who's just like fairies and angels and, you know, colors and sparkles, and it's just like, how am I supposed to stand up to something that looks so pretty? But I think that's my edge, is that I talk about real shit, and I talk about things that people are going through right now. And I talk about, you know, transcending those things and using, you know, even the worst parts of ourselves to become the best parts of ourselves.
And you know what, honestly, Melanie, I think people really appreciate, and that's why they appreciate and love you, because you're so candid and you don't sugarcoat anything. And you're really real with us about what works and what doesn't work. When you are, you know, being in these spaces that maybe are confusing to you, because there's all these things about love and light, and then maybe there's different messages from the universe, or you feel uncomfortable, what do you do, Melanie, or how have you been able to overcome those things throughout your blogging career where you don't feel like you are like putting out your best, or that you are your best?
I honestly just tapped back into myself. Mm-hmm. Being in this space, being in this career, and opening sharing space and creating space for other people to share themselves is really consuming, not only time consuming, but energy consuming. And it's just situations like that where I share myself and I sometimes I don't feel like I'm leveling up, or sometimes I feel like I'm too much or I'm too little. I have to remind myself. So I've recently coined this new term that's remember who the fuck you are. You know, we're mm-hmm. always remembering who we are as divine beings, as goddesses, as, you know, human beings with souls who are put on this planet with a purpose. So we should never, you know, feel like we're too much. We should never feel like we're not doing enough. We are right where we're supposed to be, doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing at all times. And if we ever feel unaligned or like misaligned, we just need to remember who we are.
And you know what, as you were saying that, Melanie, I was thinking about all the people who are probably confused as they're listening to this, because they're hearing all these things about being aligned and spirit. So for you, for those who maybe not follow you, what does it mean to you when you say spirit? What are you referring to?
So let me see if I can make this short. No. Yeah, spiritual health can be really confusing to a lot of people, mm-hmm. Especially for people who only have seen or been explained spirituality as religion. And yes. They're not totally separate things, but they are different. So I feel like I can speak on this with authority because I was in Catholic school for a very, very long time. Very, very long time, actually, since the time I was 3 years old until I was 15. So I know what it is to be, you know, ingrained in a church. I was an altar server. I was in the choir. I was, you know, speaker of my class in my Catholic school. Like, I was there. And for that time in my life, I got it. Like, I felt connected to God or whatever it is that the religion, I was in a Catholic school. Whatever it is that, you know, I was convinced that God was, and God is Jesus, and this is the way that I'm supposed to act if I want to get into heaven. And if I act this different way, I wasn't going to get into heaven. And then I came to a point in my life where I just didn't resonate with that anymore. Like, I couldn't get down with the guilt. I couldn't get down with, you know, the tactics that, you know, the Catholic Church was using to get people to connect. It just didn't connect with me. So I kind of gave it up completely. And it wasn't until after 25, you know, that quote unquote midlife crisis that most 25-year-olds think they're going through, where I really understood what real connection was. And I'm not saying that, you know, religion is fake at all. I absolutely still go to church, and I absolutely still, you know, look up to Jesus, because I feel like Jesus, along with, you know, Gandhi, along with Mother Teresa, along with Buddha, and along with many other figures, were put on this earth to be living examples of the way that we should act, and not to get into heaven, but just so that we could be aligned, so that we could live the best life possible. So when I talk about connection, when I talk about alignment, I'm talking about ourselves as souls housed in 3D human bodies. So yes, we are walking around with faces and arms and hands and toes and fingers, but we are living souls created by a higher being. And whether you call that higher being spirit or God or life force or omnipotence, whatever, that life force very much exists. And it comes to a point where most people, if not all people, get disconnected, be it through, you know, society or, you know, our families, our friends, outside influences, ego, which a lot of people talk about ego, and I don't really feel like people understand what ego even means. Deepak Chopra, who's a very big spiritual teacher, like one of the best out there, explains ego as edging God out. And ego is not the worst thing ever, because it definitely has a purpose. Ego helps us to, it gives us a distinct identity. So it helps us identify with our human bodies as we go through the world, since we are souls. But once we start to over-identify with our bodies and with our thoughts and with our emotions, and we start to react certain ways, that's when the ego, you know, becomes, you know, not our amigo. I know I see so many of those t-shirts out in the world. Right. Your ego is not your amigo. And I'm like, do people really know what that even means?
Right.
Like, I'm that girl at the party, like, looking at, like, the couples fighting. And I'm like, I wonder, you know, what kind of childhood traumas they both went through.
Right.
You know, and yeah, I'm always overanalyzing people because it's just so interesting to me, you know, the concept of connection and the concept of disconnection. So when I talk about connecting and when I talk about aligning and when I talk about, you know, disconnecting and misalignment, this is what I'm talking about, is being connected to this life force. And I've dialed down into, you know, that this is my passion. This is my life's work, is to not only talk about this, but to talk about connection and alignment and spirituality in a way that my people, you know, my brown and black people, my people from the hood, can understand. You know, change the world, but touch the hood first, is like, that's my heart. And that's what I know that I need to do. So when I talk about, you know, all these things, is really important for me to put it in a context that, you know, my people will understand. So I hope everybody can get jiggy with it.
Yes.
Because it really is the most important part of everything, of, you know, all health, of mental health, of spiritual health, of physical health, is just connecting and knowing your purpose and knowing that you were put on this earth with a soul that has a purpose, and that you I don't even know what else to say anymore.
No.
I'm like at a loss for words.
No, but you made such a great point that we know that it's important for you not to be connected with yourself. And I think that some of us may know when we don't feel connected. You know when you feel congested. You know when you feel...
Oh, yeah.
You don't feel right. You know when you're not aligned with your body. And it can manifest in so many different ways. Your body could be aching. Your stomach could hurt. You have headaches. Like, all of those are symptoms. And again, they go back to your mental health and how it affects it. How can you describe a time in your life when your spiritual health and your mental health weren't aligned, and how did that manifest for you?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder and depression around like 19, 20 years old. At that point, I didn't really know what it meant. I knew that, you know, I was trying to stay away from medication, and I was seeing a therapist and this, that, and the third, and I didn't really know how to cope with my symptoms. And it wasn't until really later on, I'm talking about like maybe a year or two ago, that I realized that, yes, these are illnesses that I have in my body, but the symptoms my symptoms and my triggers are things that I can cope with spiritually, and are blockages that are coming through spiritually. And I know it's difficult for me to talk about, because I know that a lot of people might not agree with me. Mm-hmm. Then again, I can only speak for myself, but looking generally at like just the population of the world, and just looking at, you know, people with mental illnesses and mental health issues. You don't have to have a mental illness to have a mental health issue, by the way. But people don't realize that a lot of their triggers and a lot of their symptoms are definitely physical manifestations of spiritual blockages. Mm-hmm. And I know that. So a big trigger for me was just, you know, that seeking of validation and the need for attention. Mm-hmm. So I would be in relationships where I wasn't getting these things, and I would be in the same relationship over and over and over. And I would be in relationships that would drive me to the point of like daily panic attacks, and I wasn't getting it. And again, it wasn't until years later that I realized, okay, I had that problem. And yes, I was having panic attacks because I was exposing myself to these triggers, which were intimate relationships with these men. But that was coming from a deep spiritual breakage that came from me not loving myself. So when you don't love yourself and you go out into the world seeking for these things that you already have, hello, automatic physical manifestation of these triggers and of these symptoms. So imagine my face, imagine my head when I finally like had that aha moment. I'm just like, yo,
right.
I've been in all these relationships, not only with men, even not even only with men in intimate relationships, even with like friendships with women and relationships with family members, mm-hmm. where, you know, I keep having the same argument over and over and I keep reacting the same way. And all along, this is a breakage that I have. So imagine me sitting in therapy like, yo, this is crazy.
Right.
So it's just like learning that helped me learn so many other things about myself. And I think that was a moment where I really started to become self-aware of, you know, my issues, where they come from, how they're manifesting in my mental, physical, spiritual health, and really how to heal myself. Because once you get, you know, what the root problem is, you know, where your chakras are unaligned or where your chakras are unbalanced, and what's going on in your, you know, 3D world is where you're really able to heal, is where you're really able to tap into the deepest parts of yourself and heal so that, you know, you can feel better mind, body, and soul.
Do you feel like you did most of your healing on your own with time, or did you have a therapist help you during your healing process?
It was definitely a mishmash of everything. I saw a therapist for 2 to 3 years. At some point I was seeing her 3 times a week. At some point I was seeing her once a week. One time I was seeing her maybe once a month. Mm-hmm. You know, then I eventually stopped seeing a therapist and I was doing self-work on my own, mm-hmm. just with the coping mechanisms that I learned in therapy, along with, you know, spiritual practices through grounding, through crystal work, through moon rituals, which I talk a lot about. So it's definitely a mix of both. There was some point where I was going to church every Sunday. You know, I'm really about just doing what feels comfortable to you in the moment, as long as it's healthy. And I have been so many versions of myself. So it's been really cool to see, you know, even how my healing has evolved throughout the years.
And I think that's beautiful, because if you have a chance to look back, you probably know when you were hurting the most and what you were able to tap into and how to use that power again, I guess.
Absolutely.
I love that you mentioned, you know, the different methods that you said, crystals and moon and things like that, because I have these conversations with my friends about mind, body, and soul, and you know, I talk about the moon rituals and the new moon rituals that you've taught us all about, and crystals and incense and all the things that they, you know, that's very like popular now and very woo-woo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you kind of deal with that piece around, you know, spiritual health being very popular now? Not popular, but I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but a lot of people are using it to, as like a marketing strategy, kind of.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very damaging for me as a therapist when I'm telling someone that the environment that they're in is toxic, and the words that they're telling, you know, what they're saying out loud to themselves is toxic, and just the things that they're doing that are very small or affect them on a bigger scale, they don't get it. And they think that I'm all like, you know, let's hold hands and sing kumbaya. So how do you kind of deal with that? Because I know that my friends are going to ask me, okay, yeah, I know I'm supposed to take care of my spirit. You know, you can tell them what it means, but what, you know, how, I guess my question is, how is it, what do you do to kind of debunk all that stuff? And how are you doing that?
It's definitely been a lot of trial and error for me business-wise, mm-hmm. As to how to communicate the debunking of the whole spiritual popular thing. But I think it's in the back of my mind, I just always want to remind people that it's not all about the crystals or the sage or the Palo Santo or, you know, the moon rituals, and they're not spells, even though there's nothing wrong with spells.
Right.
It's really not all about that. You can do all of this work because we all have work to do. Yep. I don't want anybody to get it twisted. We all have work to do. But you can do all this work without anything. Mm-hmm. You can do all of your spiritual work without a single tool in the world. There's nothing wrong with tools. They are amazing to enhance, you know, your sacred space, as I like to call it, your environment, to keep as reminders, to bring you peace, to introduce the elements of the earth into your home and into your practice. But people are taking tools and they're making them, they're like end all be all. And it's bullshit, because you have people who, and I know people like this, who like buy a bunch of crystals and they have the sage and the Palo Santo in the crib and they do their moon rituals every month, but they're terrible human beings. Yeah. And they're terrible to themselves. They're terrible to other people. They have very negative thinking. They're angry all the time. They hold grudges. And that's what you need to break. You don't need to be doing these moon rituals every month and yada, 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 if you know you can't even forgive yourself. Don't need to have personas and all these things if you're not being of service to the universe anyway. And when I say of service to the universe, I mean of service to humankind, because we are the universe. So it's really not all about, you know, again, the love and light, because how can you be love and light if you haven't even tackled your darkness? Dímelo. Like, that doesn't make no sense to me.
No, it just it reminds me of the Glow Wellness Tour, when you were talking about how when you walked into the room, you kind of had a headache and you felt people's energy. And I don't, you weren't saying like in a bad way, but you can feel that. And I feel like when you're in touch with your spiritual health and your spiritual being, you just start to realize how off other people are. And you are probably going to be better at eliminating the toxic things and the toxic people out of your life, as messed up as that sounds.
Absolutely. We are all, you know, as I keep repeating, spiritual beings. We all have psychic powers. Mm-hmm. Some people are more intuitive than others. I come from a lineage of women who are extremely intuitive. My mother's side of my family are all intuitive women. So since I've been, you know, focusing on my spiritual practice and really trying to practice non-judgment and, you know, being of service to the universe and putting myself out there in love and trying to forgive myself and forgive others, mm-hmm. my intuition has like skyrocketed to the point where I'm very easily become a funnel for God's love. And I know it sounds very woo-woo and it sounds weird and it's very hard for me to explain, especially to people who have, you know, seen me grow up and seen me being, you know, the darkest version of myself. I've definitely been through, you know, very difficult times. So it's very hard for me to be out here like, hey, let me give you a reading.
right.
But you remember 6 years ago when you were drunk on the court? And I'm like, yes, but this is me now.
Yeah.
So it's, and which is fine, because I also talk about that a lot, is that we're all, you know, different versions of ourselves at different points of our lives. And right now in this season of my life, I've realized how much power I yield, how much power my intuition yields. So it's a big reminder to me when I do walk into spaces, like I did at the Glow Wellness Tour. Shout out to the Glow Wellness Tour and Candy Calderon. When I do walk into spaces like that, where I'm speaking on a panel or I'm just there to visit or whatever it may be, and I can feel the energy of the room to the point that I feel it physically. And it's just like, whoa, oh my God, like, this is crazy. Like, I talk about it only so that people know that it exists. You know, I talk about it so that
energy
people know that I'm not, oh my God, yes. And I talk about it so that people know not only that it exists, but that we all yield that power. And that this is why I prompt people to do this work, so that, no, not that so you can walk into a room and get a migraine like I did that day, but so that you can, you know, feel and heal and share that energy at a greater capacity. Because I can not only feel energy, but I can also put energy out at a large capacity. So it's extremely fascinating, and I'm so grateful to even have this gift.
And I think that's an amazing gift, because I think then you can heal and help other people. I know that you are not necessarily in, you know, in school or, you know, striving right now, trying to be like a therapist or anything like that. But it would, you would be the perfect person in that position, because you can not only, you're not only a good listener and you can give advice, but you can also feel what other people are feeling. And sometimes with patients who are struggling with opening up, if you can feel what their spirit is telling you, then you can help you better align them and what they need in terms to help them for their mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that. That's definitely been a question that I've asked, you know, my guides, my angels. I've asked spirit, like, is my purpose to go into, you know, doing mental health work? And I've never gotten a yes. Like, I know that part of my journey and most of my journey is to help people along their journey. So I definitely do the most I can to push people who are having mental health issues and do things that they might, you know, have a mental illness or are feeling symptoms of anxiety, depression, or any other mental illness, to push them to go see a therapist, to go see a counselor. But would I do that on a daily basis? Probably not. I'd probably go crazy sitting there with patients feeling everything that they're feeling.
Oh my God, you would have like the worst headache. Yeah.
Yeah. I know a couple of therapists who keep the sage and the Palo Santo in their room. So girl, if you need some, let me know. I'll hook you up. But yeah.
No, yeah, yeah. I don't know if I could do that. If it was not a fire hazard and my company would allow me, I would have sage and Palo Santo. And after my boyfriend and some of my friends do not get it, that after work I do not want to talk to them.
Because I got you with a sage and a Palo Santo spray. Don't you worry. They come in all shapes and forms and sizes.
Get out. I would love that. That would be amazing. Oh, yeah. I can't burn anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, you see, speaking of tools, they're not always for, you know, the love and light. They are very much for protection, and that's mostly the way that I use them, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely. I wear a necklace every single day that has a huge amethyst stone, and it's not because of not necessarily what amethyst means, which I know what it means, and that's why I wear it, but it used to be my grandmother. She found the stone when she was a little girl. She put it on a necklace, gave it to my mom when she passed away, and then my mom gave it to me when my dad passed away. So I feel like I'm carrying like the women. It's heavy, so it feels heavy on my heart and it feels good on my body, and I just feel protected. And I always see people like staring at it when I'm wearing it, because it's not like, it's not OD or anything like that, but it's just so beautiful and unique. It's not one of those homemade. It's on like a ghetto like gold chain. It's not like pretty. It's just, you could just tell, oh, okay, like this is real. And I love wearing it because I feel like I love what it represents, and I feel powerful. And people have no idea what something like that has a tie to your family and love, what it can do for you to wear every single day.
Absolutely. I also wear an amethyst that my husband recently gave me. But I do wear it for protection. I wear it to remind myself of, you know, again, my intuitive power and my power as a woman, my power as a creator. And that's awesome. That's such an awesome story. I hope you keep carrying that down.
Oh, absolutely. I know. I lose jewelry, and I've never owned anything that was nice. And that's the nicest thing I own. So I try to make sure that if I don't wear it, I at least have it near me. So if I'm somewhere where I can't wear something like that, or it doesn't like go on my outfit or something, I just want to keep the stone with me. So I do want to pass it down to my daughter, and because this, I don't want to just buy amethyst from somebody's crystal place and then put it on a necklace.
Yeah.
I live in Connecticut, which is mostly like, at least Hartford is very urban, but everywhere else is pretty affluent and pretty Caucasian. And a lot of the people, all these markets are white women selling crystals, and I don't want to buy a crystal from them. So,
yeah.
So it's exactly. Tough because I want to support people of color as much as I can. And I want to know where my crystals come from. I'm trying to be intentional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know we've been talking a lot about your journey with mental health and spiritual health, but I think that sometimes people still struggle to figure out, like, how is it that, why is it important for all those things to align, mind, body, and spirit? And I know that you talked about why it was important to you and your journey, but what is it, I guess my two questions are, what is it kind of look like when they're aligned? So I guess what is a person who has those three things, how do they look and how are they feeling? And perhaps why is it important for someone to have those three things aligned for themselves?
So when you say how it looks, I don't really know how to tell you, you know, how it looks. I don't think there's anybody living that's absolutely 100% aligned at all times, because I think, you know, they would be ascending, you know, beyond human capacity.
I know.
But I feel like it is definitely extremely important, because we are these human entities that work together. Our mind, body, and our soul work together in our bodies to help us live. I'm trying to find the best words. It's always so difficult for me to explain it because I'm such a colorful person. So when you ask the question, I see it in my head and I wish I could just like project it. But it's just, I explained this recently in my recent video, that I felt like I had been the most aligned I'd been ever in my life. Because I just started eating plant-based foods,
right?
And started eliminating, you know, the meats and the junk food and things I was eating, you know, from the earth. And since we come from the earth and I'm eating from the earth, I totally felt, you know, my digestion was at peace. And, you know, if your gut is healthy, then your mind is going to be healthy. And when your gut and your mind are healthy, you know, you can get more spiritually connected. And I felt like I explained it as my body was like a factory and everything was leveling out and balancing out and working together. And I just felt really good. So when you talk about, you know, what does it look like? I don't know what it looks like, but I definitely know what it feels like. And it feels amazing. You feel like you can conquer anything.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's what I meant, was not so much how it looks like, but how it feels like. Like, you know, what you were saying in your video, being connected, like earthing, being connected to the earth and being with your family. And maybe it's not the person being aligned, mind, body, soul, or spirit, every single day, but maybe it's like a season or a moment or a day or a week. And for you, it was those glorious moments when you're with your family and you're listening to your favorite music and you're outside. That's when you feel probably the highest.
Yeah, that's definitely when I feel like I'm really accessing my highest self. But when I talk about alignment, I feel like I'm aligned all the time now. I mean, I definitely have my moments where, you know, I veer off that road of alignment and I start to question, you know, my purpose. It happens, you know, we're human. Our ego, again, is there to make us question, you know, well, is this okay? And what if is what I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing? But you have to, again, remind yourself of who the fuck you are, get back in line and keep doing what you're doing, and keep connecting and keep praying and keep talking to your guides and asking these questions so that you can get these answers. And the answers do always come. Right. I always tell people that if you must understand anything about connection and about alignment and about cosmic union, you have to know about the cosmic union between the macrocosm, which is the entire universe, and the microcosm, which is the entire universe in us. So when we talk about alignment and when we talk about how it feels and when we talk about, you know, what we're able to do when we're aligned, the microcosm is working directly with the macrocosm. So our mind, body, and souls are working together and we are able to release the things that no longer serve us really easily. And we are able to manifest the things that we need in order to live our best lives. I have a full workshop on this. I'm not trying to sell anything to anybody on this podcast at all.
No, I said, girl, you better plug your workshop.
Yes. No, just because I talk about this extensively in my virtual workshop, and I'm trying not to be biased at all, even though I'm the one behind the camera, but it's really good because I really get granular. I really get granular about what connection means and what it means to living your best life and what it means to release and manifest. And really tap into that goddess, that divine power.
And it's so funny, Melanie, because I'm actually struggling during this interview because I already know what you're going to say when I'm asking you a question. And I already know the answer because I follow you and I've been, you know, doing the rituals and everything. So when I'm asking you, like, you know, how do you tap into your inner spirit and your inner goddess? I already know what you're going to say, and it's hard because the listeners don't understand. And I think that's what I was hoping that you would do, is eventually talk about your workshop, because, you know, yeah, for my girls who know me, who know that I do the moon energy workshops, the new moon, the full moon, I always talk about Melanie. I've always mentioned to my friends why they should do it, because honestly, I'm quoting you here when I said that I think that's the first step for someone who feels congested and doesn't know how to get in touch with the spirit. Do a new moon or full moon ritual and see how you feel from there. And you said before, it might not work for you. Maybe crystals might not work. Maybe meditation might not work. You have to find what works for you. But as a therapist, I always tell people that alone time and being mindful is always helpful to try to tap into your inner self without telling someone to do like a ritual, right? Because people get really weird about that. I just try to simply tell them, sit in a place quietly. You don't have to meditate. You don't have to focus on your breathing. Just see where your mind wanders, see where it goes, and see where your energy is going. That's one way of doing it. But if you want to go all in and you're in a private and safe place, then do the rituals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the word ritual really scares people. And I just use the word ritual because it's just a practice that's meant to be done over and over. So it's a ritual for me because I do it monthly, and it's a ritual for many people because, you know, they follow my lunation emails, which I send monthly, and I send that reminder to, like, hey, you know, remember to do your full moon ritual and release these things. And this is how it's working with, you know, planetary activity right now. Hey, remember to do your new moon ritual and manifest these things. And this is how it's working with planetary activity right now. And that's why it's a ritual. But when I definitely have conversations with people who think all this stuff is very woo-woo and I can't really open up about what I do for my job. So I sometimes just tell them, hey, if you're feeling this way or if you're feeling stuck, get yourself unstuck by just writing. You know, the word journaling also gets a lot of people nervous, and I don't know why, because journaling is amazing. But journaling, oh, it's awesome. But it's also a big part of both of these rituals, of the full moon and the new moon. But when I don't want to necessarily use that word or introduce them to these practices, I just tell them, listen, write down all the things that are bothering you and just throw it out. Or write down all the things that you want to tackle this month, a list of goals, and just paste it up on the wall. And they, as long as you do these things intentionally, as long as you do anything intentionally, they could very much put you on the path that you need to be on for them to happen.
No, thank you so much for saying that, because I think that what I'm going to get a lot of questions about is like, okay, you guys are talking about how important it is and why you need to do it, but how do you unstuck yourself? And I think we mentioned a couple of things, and what an important one is journaling. I even tell my boyfriend that he needs to write things down, because literally writing things down is kind of like a spell. And I know spell is a word that we don't like, but like, have you ever, you know, just like you're writing, you know, just like teenagers may write in their journals, like, I hate myself, I hate my body, like those kind of things, when you're putting out into the universe, that is what's going to stick.
Absolutely. Whatever you put out comes back in. So, you know, there's so much power in taking a pen or a pencil and just writing things down, because you're literally, you know, transcribing energy, like you're putting that energy on a page. So whether you do it as a ritual or not, and whether you burn a piece of paper or you keep your manifestations and your intentions in a notebook that you keep, you know, sacred to you, is your business. But when you do something intentionally, even if you're just saying it, recently I've just, you know, stood in the shower naked and said my intentions out loud, you know, I am beautiful and I am powerful and I transcend fear, and all these intentions that are so extremely powerful. When you're really in the moment and you mean your shit and you're about your business, right, it's going to happen, and you're going to get these tests that are going to come along to really test if you're really about what you said earlier in the month.
Yes.
And you're definitely going to see, you know, things shift around and relationships pop up and relationships dissolve. And that's where you're going to need to flex your spiritual muscles. That's where you're really going to have to be like, okay, well, what am I going to do? Talking about mental health issues, when you set these intentions, one of my favorite intentions to set for mental health is anxiety and depression do not affect me. Mm. And for sure, I can right. definitely tell you, which might seem crazy, but I do see my triggers pop up, but it's up to me to react to that differently, to react to my triggers differently so that my symptoms don't pop up, which I know sounds really crazy to somebody who's really battling, you know, a mental illness or really battling mental health issues at the moment. But it definitely, I guarantee you, makes you so much stronger because you are ultimately in control of how you react to your right. triggers. So it's been these things, these practices, mm-hmm. these rituals, and these behaviors that have helped me heal along the way.
Absolutely. And I think just like you mentioned, we get easily upset or we notice triggers when they happen and they trigger something awful in us or some kind of symptom of depression and anxiety. We have, as Melanie likes it, the hashtag high God moments, you know?
Yes.
We have those moments. And I want you to share one of your favorite moments that the universe showed up for you. But I think that we honestly do really, really do neglect the fact that the universe is constantly talking to us. And I'm saying this and I have in my head, like, people's faces right now. There are friends of mine who are just struggling and they don't think they're doing all the rituals, they have all the tools, and they just continue to feel stuck. And I keep trying to remind them, I'm like, look at the things that you have. Look at the things that God is telling you every day. We have those moments all the time that, you know, we'll randomly say, for example, I'm gonna use one of mine. I've been saying that I want to eventually make money off the podcast. I didn't do this to make money, but I would love to be able to fund the podcast so I can create better content, but you know, buy better equipment, all those things. And someone reached out to me. I didn't put anything else out in the universe. I didn't pitch anything. I didn't say it on the podcast. I said it to myself. And someone reached out to me about running ads on the podcast. That's not something that would have wow. ever happened if I didn't just
you see
myself. Yes. And that happens. I was just telling Melanie before I recorded, I wrote down the beginning of the year that I wanted to fall in love, and I did. And I forgot completely that I wrote that down. I sealed it in an envelope. I wasn't out there looking for nobody. And now I'm basically with the love of my life. And it's just you, the universe is telling you something. Even that bad person that is not calling you, that toxic relationship that is no longer around, that friend that keeps showing you their ass, like, when people are showing you who they are, you have to believe them. That is the universe talking mm-hmm. to you.
Absolutely. All relationships are assignments. So even the relationship to yourself, especially the relationship yes. to yourself. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about, you know, getting through to that person who's not calling you or not texting you, so what? That is a lesson in itself. What is that telling you about yourself? Right. What is that telling you about that person? If that person feels no value to your life, then let them go. And while in their absence, what did you learn from that relationship? What did you learn about yourself from that relationship? So that is so awesome to hear, you know, those two high God moments that came from your intentional practice. That right. is how you flex your those spiritual muscles. That is how you are intentional. People think that, you know, when you talk about spirituality, you have to like kneel down and pray 50 times a day. And like, no, it's just peace. And being calm and thinking positive thoughts. And whether you notice it or not, when you set an intention, you are unconsciously working towards that intention. If you are aligned, and you must be aligned, girl, because you're making it happen.
Exactly. And again, if you are concerned about whether you're in alignment or not, I always look at how you just be in touch with yourself. I know it sounds very... even when I say it out loud, it sounds crazy because I have this conversation with my patients all the time. I'm like, do you feel aligned? How does your stomach feel? How does your body feel? I'm very into food and how it affects your mind, body, and spirit. And mm-hmm. sleep. That's one of my hugest things. I don't have any expertise in food or sleep, but I'm dying to have someone on the podcast talk about how those two things affect your mental health. And to me, those two things are so important. You need your body to rest, so sleep is important. And you're ingesting things all day that are created by other humans or are animal products, and that's energy. So it's kind of like, how do you know when you're aligned with yourself? And I always try to challenge my friends. And if you're not in alignment, you really can't do anything else. Just like Melanie said, you can't start smudging a room and lighting your Palo Santo if you're still a shitty person at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Man, can you share with us your favorite high God moment? Because I know you talk about a lot of them, but what's like your favorite, maybe not high God, but something that the universe like kind of showed you or gave to you that you were thinking about or that was troubling you?
Oh man, there's just so many. There's just so many. So when we talk about high God moments, or when I talk about, you know, hashtag high God moments, what I'm talking about is the way that the universe talks to you, the way that the universe shows you that they're there to support you, or the way that the universe guides you. So I coined that term because when I started to realize that the universe was even communicating with me at all, that spirit, that God was even communicating with me at all, that I was protected by angels and that I had, you know, ancestors and guides out there that were guiding me along my way, I'm like, hold the fuck up. This is crazy. It's right. Crazy because they would communicate with me in different ways. So the way that my guides communicate with me the most is through numbers. So I started seeing repeating numbers a lot. This is a few years ago now. And I would see 555 and 222s, and I'm like, what is this? And I would see people posting 1111. This is definitely also during the Tumblr age, Tumblr, rest in peace, Tumblr, Lord. And people would post 1111, make a wish, and I would always see that, but I'm just like, what does that mean? Right. And still today, people still post that and don't even know what it means, and exactly. Don't know that, you know, the numbers 1111 are sacred numbers and are a part of sacred geometry. And it's just like, you can go deep in a rabbit hole about all this stuff. But when I realized that God was communicating to me through numbers, it was just like, wow, okay. So I started to take that into account. And I kept a little website printout in my pocket so that I could open it up every time I saw a number. But at some point, not only did I start to memorize them, but I started to realize that a lot of the numbers had special meanings to me that didn't really correlate with the ones that were online. So I have those numbers on my website. I have a full blog post about angel numbers in case anybody cares and in case anybody does see repeating numbers and wants to know more about them. But it's so fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah. I had to write about it because people were DMing me so much about, you know, well, what does 222 mean? What does 333 mean? And I'm like, girl. And I was writing the same response over and over. And it's just so much that I did write a full blog post about it. And I have a little download that you could also print out and keep in your pocket or keep in your phone whenever you do start to see repeating numbers. If you're just starting out, if you're just starting to be aware of your spiritual journey. But I think those are my favorite moments when I was just starting out and when I started to see, you know, the 333s and the 555s and just paying attention to what I was thinking or saying or doing in that moment, just to see what I was being guided to do or to say, if I was being supported in that moment or if I was being guided to stop and do something else. And I still to this day see repeating numbers. I still to this day get messages through songs. Sometimes I would tell Siri, if I have an iPhone, so I would walk down the street. I used to work in Midtown. So I would walk down the street and tell Siri, Siri, play this song. And she would play an entirely different song. And when I listened to the lyrics of that song, it was just definitely a call for me to pay attention because God was speaking to me. So it would be like, I'm supporting you. I'm here for you. I love you. And I'm just like, I'm in the street, like, I'm the girl in the street, like, what is going on? Like, this is crazy. Right. I still have moments today where it's just like, even little things. Today, I had a high God moment today, which is really odd because I'm starting to get them in forms of art, which is really interesting to me. So I live in Manhattan. I live right across the street from a bus stop. So there's somewhere where my family and I are going to be traveling in March. And I was walking home this morning after dropping my daughter off at daycare, and there's a billboard for the country that we're traveling to.
Wow.
And I was just like, what? First of all, I've never seen this type of ad in my life. Second of all, wow. Like, okay, I see you, God. Hi, God. And right. when I started to think of like, well, why is this here? I remember that earlier that morning, I was having doubts about even booking this trip. Like, was this a good idea? Is this financially responsible? Right. Should we cancel this trip? And then lo and behold, I step outside, I come back in, and there it is. Confirmation that like, you're good. You need to go here. I can't remember what the message on the billboard was. I'm texting you a picture tomorrow, girl, because you need to see it. Yes. But it was I know it was confirmation, like, you're good. You're going to be exactly where you need to be at that moment. So don't even worry about it. So it's just moments like that that are still so refreshing to me. And just, I don't think they will ever get old.
And I think that I love you. I love that you share the angel numbers, because 1111 is something that I heard so much about. And I'm just like, okay, you make a wish, you touch something red. Okay, what is it supposed to do? Like, my family always used to rush to do it. And then I learned more about it. And I actually shared your angel numbers pocket guide and your link to so many people, because they were just like, wait, like, I heard someone talking about angel numbers. And what does this mean? They're asking me and I have no idea. And I really love that, because high God moments happen to all of us, but mm-hmm. when you start to be more in line with yourself, you're going to see them, because God is talking to us all the time. And whether we are going to church every week, whether we're talking to him or her, whether you're talking to the universe, whatever you believe in, whether you are praying to that person and talking to that person, they are still going to show up for you, because they are still looking at your ancestors. You have people on your back. You have people who are looking out for you to make sure that you're good, and they're giving you messages all day. And the more and more aligned you are with your spirit, with the help of any tools that you need, you know, with the help of Melanie and her many workshops, you can get to that point in your life where you feel better, or you could at least figure out what works for you.
Absolutely. So most of these little terms and phrases that I coin are, yes, for marketing purposes, but only to market the message. You know, I want to serve as a physical reminder that connection exists. I want to serve as a physical reminder to be good and to love and to be yourself and to be candid and to be open and to be vulnerable with the human beings around you, because we're all ultimately doing our best. We're all ultimately on this journey together. And if I elevate with you and I serve as a guide for you, you will do the same for someone else, and that person will do the same for someone else, and that's how we heal the collective.
Absolutely. And paying it forward is just like a whole different kind of energy too, which is, you know, for women of color, which is awesome. What do you do?
Oh yeah.
Melanie, what is your favorite form of self-care that you do when you are not feeling yourself?
Boundaries. Definitely boundaries. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's definitely hard living in New York City, because New York City is very small. Even in your own home, like, I only have, like, maybe, you know, the bathroom where I have my alone time, right? Because I live with my husband and my daughter. But setting boundaries is so important. Mental boundaries, physical boundaries, like, leave me alone for 5 minutes, leave me alone for an hour, leave me alone for a day. And definitely spiritual boundaries. Mm-hmm. Just keeping to myself, doing grounding work, you know, spending time in nature, protecting myself, eating healthy foods, just ingesting good things, mm-hmm. so that when I'm ready to come out of, you know, whatever cocoon I have put myself in, I'm able to put out the good energy that I have just, you know, cultivated. So definitely setting boundaries.
I love that. What about any podcasts or books, anything that you would recommend for anyone who wants to get like in a spiritual or mental health journey of their own and they don't know where to start, or anything that has helped you?
So I can definitely, first thing that comes up to my mind is a book and a podcast. So the book that I recommend to anybody and everybody is A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. Mm-hmm. That book I read when I was literally at my breaking point. As in, I was already broken, but breaking through. So we only break to break through. I like to remind people of that. And I read it at that point, and it was just such a moment of blossoming for me and such a moment of understanding. And it was really Marianne Williamson who helped me understand what connection even really means. So I always say that if I meet her one day, which I hope I do meet her one day. I don't even know what I'm going to do because she has unknowingly helped me so much. I tell my husband all the time, like, I want to be the Latina Marianne Williamson, because she is just like unapologetically herself, just the bomb, and spreads her message in such a simple way. It's just like, that book is amazing. All of her books are amazing, but if you get a chance to read any one of them, definitely read A Return to Love. It's crazy. So good.
I'm excited to get that one because someone actually gifted to me Woman's Worth, which I'm really excited to dive into.
Oh my God. Also so damn good. I'm telling you. All her books are really good. She also has a book on spirituality and finances, which is amazing. Okay. What is the name of that one? It is, I can't remember the name right now, but if anybody cares, I have an Amazon store where all of my favorite books are posted on. See, like, a lot of what I do is the counterculture. So there's so many vloggers and bloggers and YouTubers who are out there, you know, quote unquote, putting their lives on the internet. And it's just so pretty. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, these highlight videos, I put out monthly highlight and faves videos where I highlight, you know, the things that are going on with me mentally, physically, and spiritually. And then I touch on my family. But those came out of a request. People actually wanted me to create these videos so I can talk about, you know, my personal life and how I'm dealing with my mind, body, soul personally. But I'm like, okay, so how am I going to do this? Am I going to make it pretty or am I going to be myself? And I don't know how to be anything other than myself. So I really appreciate it when people come back and they're like, thank you for putting this out. I really appreciate it. And I'm like, oh, great. Somebody cares because I put so much work into this video. It really does take a lot of work to put these things together. So I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoy them. And I thank you again for all your content, everything that you share with us. Can you plug all your things, Melanie, and let us know what you're up to and what to kind of expect from melaniesantos.co?
Ooh. So you can find all of my social channels at melaniesantos.co. That is my website. I am on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I will eventually have something of a podcast. I have one episode up right now and I'm slacking, but I'm going to get some tips from Amaris after this.
What is it called?
The podcast is called A Word with Melanie Santos. If you want to listen to my one episode, you can. It's pretty good, actually.
It's on good, Apple actually. Podcasts or?
It is on everything. Apple, yes. Google, SoundCloud, the works. Yes. But yeah, you guys can find me on melaniesantos.co. As I mentioned earlier, I have a virtual workshop on the emerging goddess and how to tap into your goddess energy and working with moon rituals and all of that amazing stuff live on my website right now. I will have a lunation email at the end of the week because we have a full moon coming up. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff that will be coming up in the next couple of weeks. A lot of amazing things at the beginning of the year. You definitely want to stay tuned for that. A lot of mind, body, soul content. I'm really excited for all these things that are being birthed from me. So I hope everybody enjoys them just as much as I am enjoying putting them together.
Yes, Melanie, thank you so, 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 so much. I can't even thank you enough for this episode because I feel like I said thank you at least 17 times today in this little hour.
Thank you for even having me on. Thank you so much.
Of course. And I'm excited to see where this goes from here. And I will link all of your stuff in our show notes. And again, thank you so much for being on here and just allowing us to learn more about spiritual and mental health. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Basic Latina podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. You could find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you want to reach us, please do so on Instagram and Facebook at Basic Latina Podcast. Or if you'd like to write us an email with any questions, suggestions, or comments, You can write us in at basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. Sound editing for this episode is by moi, and the music is by Chef Dog. Talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care.